Well, good morning. Good chilly, wintry morning here. Green Zine is rolled right around again on this day, the 14th of December, 2023. Just after 11 o'clock, Todd with you. Henry just about to join us. Just playing some music from this band called D Square. They're actually out of, they were out of Arizona. Album is Big Sky, Full of Dumb Stars. I thought of the album with the gemmeted meteor showers starting last night and tonight and for the next several days, but the key nights were last night and tonight, in case you're looking to the skies. This is another piece from that album for this time of year, Chop Wood, Carry Water. Yeah, maybe you have to go bring your water in from outside in the winter. Good luck. Green Zine is brought to you each week by the Solar Tracker Company based down in Norwich, Vermont, Soliflect. Also, over in Rochester, Vermont, Green Mountain Bikes. They're open year-round because they've got fat bikes, they've got e-bikes, they've got mountain bikes, they've got road bikes. Dylan might even loan you his unicycle if he's not backcountry boarding. Bale, located here on the Commons in South Royalton, Vermont. Have a lot going on, and it's a really great information storehouse there at their website, balevt.org. Also, Tom Wells and his business, Royal Trailworks. Daniel Leibowitz, founding board member of this radio station, now practicing law down in the Washington, D.C. area. Thank you, Daniel. The Upper Pass Beer Company. Upper Pass Beer Company partnering with a blues band tomorrow night. Royalton Academy, 7 to 10 p.m. if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, just a mile or two away from the studio. Chef's Market up in Randolph, thank you very much. And Tunbridge Hill Farm. Let's chop wood a little bit longer, and then I'll bring Henry up. You're listening to Green Zine, your weekly environmental news magazine here at WFVR-LP, South Royalton. Radio of the people, by the people, and for the people. Well, are you totally relaxed now, Henry?
I am.
You are. I thought that music might, you know, not that you were all riled up or anything, but thought that might calm you down.
No. I actually, instead of watching the news last night with all the riling up going on, I put on some early Yuletide choral music.
Oh, lovely.
Made supper by that. It was much better than jumping back into the news.
Yeah, you can just sense your blood pressure getting realigned when you listen to music like that.
Yes. Yeah,
I could highly recommend, if you don't listen to them already, Henry, in that vein, the Talus Singers, T-A-L-U-S, I believe is how they spell it. Check them out if you don't know about them already.
Yes. They are very good. I have
you
them
do know about
in
them.
My iTunes.
Uh-oh. No corporate names now, Henry. Okay.
Oh, there we are.
Bob could be listening. Yeah, so we're on Green
Index.
Yeah. What do we have happening today, Henry?
Well, we have a bird note where we're going to look at a little bit of bird humor, or at least people humor over birds. And we're going to can't avoid talking about the outcome and the procedure of the COPs conference.
Yep.
And we have on a constructive note, we have Jason Hill from the Vermont Center for Eco Studies, mm-hmm, joining us, and he's going to talk about diversity and what that does for us and how you get it, and also about citizen science and things that the public can participate in building the databases to show that we need to do this kind of action or that kind of action, which is a problem with the COPs.
Yeah, and I think
people not looking not looking at the data, not facing the data face on.
Yeah, really. Got to check out that data. Well, you know, I think that James Hill will be maybe the third staff member of the Vermont Center for Eco Studies that has joined us over the years. I remember we had a visit with Steve Fascio, and I believe there was another scientist there that we spoke with a couple years ago. So a great resource, and their headquarters. In fact, I think you were at their headquarters in Norwich recently, weren't you?
That's what triggered my my thinking about having them on the air. I was, I think it was Sunday night, I went to a concert at the Unitarian Church, which is right next door to them on Route 5
yep.
In Norwich. And and I bumped into a woman coming out of the door. This is Sunday night, mind you, coming out of the door of the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. And I said, do you work there? And she said, yeah, I'm a new coordinator for them. And I said, I'm impressed you're working on
right.
Sunday evening. And I said, give me the 30-second spiel on what they do. And she gave me the 30-second spiel. And then I called her back a day or so later and reached the same lady. And she put me in touch with Jason Hill. So
wow, there you go. You just never know. You were in the right place at the right time, Henry.
Yes, it was good.
So we'll look forward we'll look forward to talking
always
with
you. Always be open.
Yeah.
Always be open to opportunities.
Yeah, and you can sense when the person's okay with having, you know, a spontaneous impromptu talk and when they're like, hey, I've been here all day. I'm getting in my car. Thanks a lot, buddy. But I'm glad that she was so open to talking with you. You're an easy guy to talk to, Henry.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to. I had a concert that I was going to be late for if I didn't have to talk very long. So I only wanted a 30-second spiel, the elevator speech.
Yeah. You got it. Hey, a little bit later in the show, probably in the third after we talk with James Hill, we're going to talk a little bit about there's an effort by several towns in our area to actually create a new position for a regional energy coordinator. I know that the Energy Committee in Bethel has been really driving this over the last few months, and Rochester Select Board has considered it. The Royalton Select Board has considered it, and Randolph has considered it. And some of these decisions will be ultimately made by town meeting. So citizens of the towns that are getting involved that have it on their town warning will have a chance to learn more about it and also commit town funds to the effort. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, an article now that winter is definitely here, not going below zero, but certainly in the mid-teens again this morning, ways to efficiently stay warm over the winter without using too much unnecessary energy. But why don't we turn the page, Henry, and go here to Bird Note, if that works for you.
Excellent. Let's do that.
All right. Here we go. Bird Note, you're listening to Green Zine here on Free Vermont Radio.
This is Bird Noir. I'm Michael Stein, Private Eye. I have this neighbor down the street, Mrs. Pico. She's a lovely woman, the sort who always has homemade cookies ready for visitors. So I was worried when she called late one evening.
Michael, someone keeps knocking on my door, but when I go to let him in, nothing. All I hear is laughter in the trees. You've got to help me find out who keeps ding-dong ditching me.
All right, Mrs. Pico, we'll get this sorted out. Could it have been one of the neighborhood kids? After a snickerdoodle, maybe?
The knocking was awfully fast, dear. Probably too quick for a kid.
Ah, I bet you got a bird who's come a-calling. Was it maybe a stutter-stop drumming like this yellow-bellied sapsucker?
No, sweetie, it was much more rhythmic.
Was it more like this?
Yes, that's much closer.
That drumming's the sound of a pileated woodpecker, and its call does sound like laughing.
Oh, I'm afraid that's not it. I'd recognize the laugh anywhere.
Maybe a red-bellied. Their cackling sounds a bit different.
That's the one.
Mystery solved. I bet he's found your door is nice and loud. Great for signaling to other woodpeckers that this is his territory.
Thank you, Michael. You've put my mind at ease.
Learn how to solve your own bird mysteries at our website, birdnote.org.
As we embrace the dawn of a new year.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that down in the mix. And now that explains why I thought this was a typo in the description of this week's Bird Note. It said Bird Noir. Well, listeners to a show that is no longer with us, and that would be Prairie Home Companion, know that Garrison Keillor did have that spiel with Guy Noir, the detective. That was pretty clever, Henry.
It was fun. Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. And I just saw and heard a pileated woodpecker yesterday in the last couple of days. They're around, but that was not the main suspect. What was it? The red bellied? What did they say at the end about?
No. The red bellied was the one that had the right laugh.
Yes, that had the right laugh and the right knocking. Okay. Do you see red bellies around here? Are they around? I never heard that term used.
Yeah, we have them at the feeder up here in Burlington.
Okay.
Virtually every day, and we occasionally get pileated, and we obviously get the more common sapsuckers and hairy and downies. So that's pretty much the laundry list for Vermont. I think. In the woodpecker department. So
we have a lot of directions we could go, Henry. You toss the first pitch.
Should we
COP 28?
Your New York Times article?
I do. I just brought that up in front of me, and I did send that. I found out a way to share that. I get 10 shares a month.
Thank you.
And I know because you couldn't get in, but now you'll get these articles. And thanks. Did you get a chance to read it, Henry?
I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been reading a lot of things about COP 28, and I've been keeping track of the story. And the other night they were going into late night deliberations and into the last day, and things were looking. And I'm not giving them a free pass here. Things were looking pretty dire. A number of countries, and I think probably including the United States, not real happy about mentioning gas, oil, coal, fossil fuels in any final agreement. Now, how weird is that? Something to deal with climate change, and they don't want that language. Now, remember, this was being hosted in Dubai.
In Dubai.
And
managed by the head of
the largest natural gas oil company in Dubai, and located only a couple miles away from the largest natural gas power plant in the world. Yep.
which was generating
probably
a lot of,
the electricity for the conference.
Well, it was the air was pretty crummy because of
unbelievable, but something happened, at least linguistically, in those last several hours, and some of the folks that were wringing their hands are feeling a little bit better. Can you spell out what's kind of, at least, I don't know if this is an example of greenwashing coming out of COP 28, Henry, but the opinions have changed. Go ahead.
The basic problem is that there are a great number of, especially one or two, Saudi Arabia and gas or major oil producers who just don't want to stop selling oil.
Yeah.
And our emissions are actually, in the United States, are actually up 10% for this year. So we're not leveling off. Maybe we aren't as accelerated as we were pre-pandemic, but we are still climbing, and we need to be drastically reducing. So we're not doing it, and the conference is can be vetoed by just one country.
That's right. It has to be consensus. Yep.
It's got to be a consensus, and they're looking not for a supermajority, which might be a way to make it make more sense. It's consensus with no strong objectors. So you get one strong objector, and instead of saying that we will phase out on an annual basis, we'll keep reducing our carbon usage, they say we will trend downwards. You know, I've forgotten exactly. I don't have it in front of me, the words. But it's a much... It has lots of loopholes in it, and it really allows oil companies to go on and do whatever they want to do. And
there isn't language written into it where it's more aspirational. There are no sort of hard commitments that you need by this time to do this. It's still very loose at the other end. They definitely did not want the term phase out used. There was some, you know, like, hey, phase down. Well, when does phase down happen? In 2080 or 2050? I just want to read a little bit from this New York Times story. There were some celebrations that at least it turned out better than, you know, the 36 hours before, at least in language. But this Times article, the celebrations are likely to be short-lived. This year, 2023, which is drawing to a close, is the hottest globally in recorded history. And scientists expect 2024 to be just as hot, if not hotter, as the El Nino climate pattern compounds the warming driven by fossil fuels. Now, they did allow the word fossil fuels in this final document. Wow, big compromise.
Which has never been allowed before.
Never been allowed after 28 of these conference of parties. Yeah, we can't make this stuff up, Henry. Oil, gas, and coal production continue to rise. Fossil fuel companies are planning for decades of increased production. I think that also includes, at least in the near term, the United States. And if the administration were to change in our next election, the former president once again is using that phrase, drill, baby, drill. So that's my little interjection. And many countries are still reliant on fossil fuels for revenue and economic growth. For the conference to truly make a difference, it will take more than an aspirational statement. It will require policymakers to enact substantive changes in their countries, rapidly scaling up renewable energy and improving energy efficiency. It will mean sweeping changes to the global financial system, which we have talked about before on the show, to provide more capital to developing nations. And there will have to be fundamental changes to the food system, serious efforts to protect nature, and new technological advances. That's a pretty full list there.
Yes. So I'm seeing James Hansen just sent out an email in the last hour, which I'm looking at, and is talking about the El Nino effects that we are getting right now, and what that's likely to do with accelerated warming.
Wow.
And there's a chart in this that's pretty steep rise
pretty sobering
warming path.
Are you able to later on after the show, are you able to tag that at our link at Green Scene at the website, the James Hansen?
I will do that.
Yeah.
Try to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, we won't have time today to
email format. Yeah.
Okay.
No. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, very pertinent.
And I think the answer is that a lot has to be done right now. Not 3-5 years. Waiting for things to get easier is not going to help us.
No.
and things are getting easier. But Let me go get our guest, and we'll talk about something positive. What the ecosystem can do for us.
We will do that, Henry. We'll look forward to rejoining you in about a minute and a half. You are listening to Green Zine here at Royalton Community Radio. And why don't we return to the remainder of this piece from a group called Big Sky, Full of Dumb Stars. Get back outside with your hatchet, your mallet, your maul. It's time to chop wood and carry water. During this brief interstitial music break, I just want to point out an article that we will probably not discuss much today, but it's sort of a synthesis of what's going on in Vermont with indigenous tribes and across the border in Quebec. It's written by a guest that we've had on Green Zine before, Kevin McCallum, and the title of the story is Caught in the Crossfire, Fighting Between Quebecois and Vermont Abenaki Tribes Puts Conservation Groups in a Bind. You can find it, just came off the presses yesterday, in the 7 days, and the article can be found on page 20. I think you'll find it very interesting. Once again, you are tuned to Green Zine here at Royalton Community Radio. And just as I was suggesting to Henry, he'll probably end up doing it. There's a lot of information at our link at the website. You would just go to WFVR.org or RoyaltonRadio.org. And in the tabs, search for Green Zine, and then there will be additional information and links that Henry has provided there. And hopefully we're going to be hearing Henry's voice here again. Henry, are you rejoining us now?
I am, and I have Jason Hill from the Vermont Center for Eco Studies here on the line with me. So welcome to Green Zine, Jason.
Hey, thank you, Henry. Thank you, Todd. Great to be here.
Hey, great to have you on with us. Looking forward to this conversation.
So your official title is you're a quantitative ecologist. Do I have that right?
That's right, yeah. I'm one of those, you know, math nerds that plays with animal and insect data.
Wow. And and so just give us a hint at the magic that this kind of math discipline can do for us. And then we'll get into talking about natural systems and diversity.